12. We're going to dedicate this shiur to the memory of Miriam Reisel Bas Menachem Mendel Aleha Shalom. Yahrzeit is tonight, and the shiur is therefore dedicated in her memories. We also have the Yahrzeit of Moshe Yechiel Halevi Weissman. All right. You may recall that I gave you homework last week. It wasn't really homework. What I wanted you to do was read a page from Ornette that I want to comment on this evening. I'm going to read parts of it again. For those of you who wish, you can pass these out, give these out, but please return them to me. Let's say the following. I want to make it absolutely clear. I want to make it absolutely clear. The beauty of Torah is in the give and take, the differences of opinion, the discussion. Therein lies the growth, the greatness of Torah. I don't have an axe to grind here. Ornette has been doing a tremendous, tremendous job of disseminating Torah throughout the world. I happen to have feelings about one page of Ornette. And the greatness of Torah is, yes, the give and take of different opinions. The only thing, of course, that I'm going to have to do is, Ornette went on the internet. And most probably there are tens of thousands of people who saw this. We're going to have to find a way to make sure that what I have to say will be heard by tens of thousands, if not more. This will get it on 8, so we'll figure out how to do it. Anyway, the question and what we're going to discuss is, of course, appropriate for Parashat HaShavua. The Parashat HaShavua is Shlach. Parashat HaShavua is the Parashat of the Meraglim. And as we go through what is said over here, I'm going to ask certain questions that relate to the Meraglim. But we'll save that as we go through it. The question that was asked was somebody who's 18 years old, has a relative who, I don't like the word over there, but listen, I am 18 years old, I have a close relative now living in Israel who is very extremist when it comes to living in Israel, very extremist. He has always disapproved of people living outside Israel, for he never really sees them as worthwhile Jews or Jews who are so dedicated to Yiddishkeit. He's been criticizing me for not coming, I want to finish school and I want to prepare myself. What should I do, Rabbi? To dear name withheld, the response is the following. The land of Israel is central to Judaism. It is an intrinsic part of the covenant between God and Abraham, and it's where the patriarchs and the matriarchs lived and are buried. Most events recorded in the Tanakh took place in Israel. Israel is the only land conducive to developing the faculty of prophecy. All the prophets either received prophecies in Israel or prophecies that related to the land of Israel. For example, Abraham's only prophecy outside Israel was the command to go there. Even today, people who live in Israel experience extraordinary divine assistance in Torah study and spiritual growth. As the sages said, there's no Torah like the Torah of the land of Israel. The heir of the land of Israel imparts wisdom. You may, of course, if you choose, respond with any kind of moans, groans, aches, or anything that you wish to the next sentence. In Israel, one can experience a higher level of tranquility than can be experienced elsewhere. Now, the two previous classes that I said this, there were cries of shock and disbelief. Maybe, of course, we're a little calmer today because at least in the next 24 hours we have a government. Yesterday when I said this year in the morning, we didn't know whether we're going to have a government. I mean, this is the least tranquil place I can imagine on the face of this earth. I mean, there is no such thing as tranquility over here. We go from crisis to crisis. We pray, in Yitzhak Hashem, we pray that a time will come that we will indeed achieve that great tranquility that is supposed to come in Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, most of the commandments only apply when the majority of Jews are in Israel. I really don't understand the meaning of this paragraph. Most of the commandments only apply when the majority of Jews are in Israel. Nowadays, when most Jews live outside Israel, only 270 of the 613 mitzvot can be fulfilled. Here comes the crux of the question and the answer. Is there a specific mitzvah to live in Israel? Many authorities say it is a mitzvah to live in Israel, in keeping with the verse, "And you shall possess the land and dwell in it." Maimonides, on the other hand, states that one should always dwell in the land of Israel, yet he does not list it as one of the 613 commandments. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein explains that according to Maimonides, there is no obligation to go to Israel, although it is a good thing to do. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about the halachic aspect of it all, and most specifically this evening I want to talk about the tshuva, the responsa of Rav Moshe Feinstein, because it seems to be given a great deal of prominence here of hundreds of achronim. The only one who is mentioned is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, so obviously we have to deal with what it was that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said. Now comes the more practical part of the response. Since living in Israel affects almost the entire range of mitzvah observance, all factors should be considered. Will you be able to find work that provides you with the time and money to fulfill the mitzvot? For example, study Torah, give charity, and provide a Torah education for your children. Halachic authorities throughout the ages have emphasized that a person should come to Israel only if reasonably sure he can support his family and guarantee his children a Torah education. However, one shouldn't seek luxuries. The importance of living in Israel outweighs driving a Ferrari and eating steak every day for breakfast. A cute paragraph which I feel is, this is of course a very subjective feeling, it's out of place when dealing with a question as weighty and significant as this. Like, what am I supposed to do after this paragraph? Ha ha ha, what a joke. This is not a joke, this is a serious matter. It's a question that that affects every Orthodox Jew in the world. Other factors to consider: how will you deal with living far from family? How will you adapt to a new culture? What suitable marriage prospects are available? What appropriate Torah study program will you connect with? Will you be able to live in a Torah neighborhood? Last paragraph. Coming to Israel is sort of like getting married. Everyone should do so eventually, but not because a well-meaning relative bullies you into it. And if you do so when you want to, you're more likely to fall in love. Alright, so first of all, I just want to give you a few general feelings that I had as I read this response. And we will go into detail in terms of the halacha and the hashkafa that's involved over here. One of the feelings that I had was, if somebody would have come to me in West Hempstead and told me that, well, I have two job offers, Rabbi, one is in Teaneck and one is in Los Angeles, what do you think I would have responded to them? Do you think you'll be able to live in a Torah neighborhood in both of those communities? Will you have education, proper educational facilities for your children? How are you going to feel living far away from home and family? What about the society and the culture over there? These are the questions that one is supposed to ask themselves before they come on Aliyah. It seems to me this is the kind of answer that one would give to anybody who's asking about living any place in the world. What's really lacking in this response, what's missing over here, is the leap of faith, the sense of historic challenge, the Klal Yisrael responsibility. If these are the questions that those who came before us would have asked, there wouldn't be a single Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. And what about somebody who will say to me, "Yeah, Rabbi, I'm going to take the job in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There's no day school there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build a day school. You know what I'll tell them? Kol HaKavod. There's no mikveh. I'm going to build a mikveh in Tulsa, Oklahoma." Isn't that a proper response? There's no sense over here what historic responsibility is. What's lacking over here is being tuned into the flow of Jewish destiny. The dimension of Eretz Chemda, Eretz Israel, is supposed to be the desired land. There's something so cold and calculating about the factors that are to be taken into consideration. We will see halachically there's a reality that has not been updated over here. One may even be left with the impression, you know, you can't find a Torah neighborhood, an Orthodox neighborhood in which to live. You may not have decent Jewish education for your children over here. I don't understand, we're talking about an Eretz Israel in 1997. And we will point out that all the tshuvas that talked about you have to make sure that you have a karnasa, these were tshuvas that were written 500, 600, 700 years ago, and even 100 years ago. But today we're talking about an Eretz Israel that you can make a living here just like you can make a living in the United States. For that matter, you may very well be able to make a better living over here. What are we talking about? We're not talking about some backwater country anymore. This is not the Eretz Israel of 15 years ago. An Eretz Israel without Hipponeto. An Eretz Israel without Cellcom and cellular phones and all the rest of the stuff that we have in this country. Whether one will be able to find the proper Torah study program? What are you talking about? 15 years ago there was no Jerusalem College for adults. That's the commercial. Today there is. What are you talking about? There are Torah study programs galore. What's missing in this response is the excitement of being an active participant in the evolving drama of the fulfillment of prophetic promises. Eretz Yisrael here sounds just like any other place in the world. There's also something very American, I'm afraid to say, about this response. What's American about it is, Americans still believe that they can plan out their lives down to the last detail and everything is going to work out. What they don't understand is most times things just don't work out. And even the one who has his aliyah planned down to the last penny, most probably a few years later ends up with the last penny. And then things start all over again. What is missing over here is the dimension that Eretz Yisrael is acquired through suffering. No pain, no gain, no effort put in, nothing is going to be achieved. What's being described here is an antiseptic, fail-safe, fully guaranteed, successful aliyah, down to the last detail. That may sound like reality to somebody else, but we know that's not reality. That's not reality at all. There is absolutely no relationship between what is said here and what is reality. I'm not saying that a person is supposed to just come blind, but there is a certain leap of faith that has to be taken. I would have felt a great deal better in the event that this tshuva would have contained two additional sentences. It's so common. The following sentence is so common in all of the sparim that have come out in English. When you come to a difficult question, so you know what they say? Consult your rabbi. Aliyah is a profoundly personal decision that has to be made. At least they should have said, discuss it with somebody. Discuss it with somebody you feel close. I came out Aliyah after I discussed it with Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Every other shayla in the world you have to discuss with a gadol, and this you don't have to discuss. And what happens if the tshuva would have said, you know, maybe you should do a little reading up on about Eretz Yisrael. To Dwell in the Palace, you know that book, To Dwell in the Palace? Not a bad book. There are other good books. But over here it seems this shaila is not important enough that you should at least discuss it with your local Orthodox rabbi. But no, you have the whole set of questions to ask yourself. This went out on the internet to thousands of people. Do you know what this leaves people with the impression? I don't have to even think of coming on Aliyah until such time that everything is perfect. I think somebody's going to take the job in Los Angeles, even though it will mean being far away from family. So what if you'll be far away from family? Is that a halachic consideration or is it not? Do you know how many tshuvas were written over the centuries? Do you have to listen to father and mother who don't want you to go on Aliyah? The psak nearly overwhelming by all the poskim is. You don't have to listen to parents who are opposed to you going on Aliyah. The only time there's a head to stay behind in Chutz Laretz is if a person is actively involved in taking care of an elderly or ill parent, then you don't go on Aliyah. But otherwise, son or daughter wants to go on Aliyah and father or mother say no, you don't have to listen to your father or mother. What's left over here, and here's where I want to start going back to taking the tshuva piecemeal, dealing with the halachic aspects, and there are going to be certain things that I'm going to leave for next week. I don't think I'm going to get everything accomplished this week. I was saying that I'm not going to cover everything over here. In order to treat this properly, we're going to have to go step by step. What I am going to leave Mi'etz Hashem for next week is, first of all, the bullies. I'm going to take you on a historic journey of the bullies throughout history, starting with God Himself, the big bully in the sky who wants Jews to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then we're going to have a Moshe and an Aaron and a Yahushua. And we're going to have an Ezra Freidlicht, an Ezra and a Rabbi Akiva and a Rambam and a Ramban and a Baal Shem Tov and a Vilna Gaon and a Chofetz Chaim and a Chazon Ish. We will deal with all the great bullies of history. We are also, Im Yetz Hashem, going to take a look at how would the Or Sameach have looked at this page in Or Net. I'm going to give you a number of quotes from the Or Sameach. We're also going to deal with a question maybe that is not addressed here at all, and I think it should be addressed. If we are to ask the following question, what do you think is Ritzon Hashem? What do you think God really wants? What does God really want? In other words, I have a kash on this week's sedra. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam sentences an entire people to death in the desert. I don't understand. And what happens if the Meraglim would have come over to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and said, Rebbeinu, what do you want from us? According to the Rambam, it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, there's simply no obligation to go to Eretz Yisrael, but if you go there, it's good. Now, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, can you promise us that we're going to have a Torah neighborhood in which to move into an Eretz Yisrael? There's the Kanani, the Hiti, the Amori, the Chivi, the Yavusi, the Girgashi. Can you promise us, God, that we're going to have Torah educational institutions for our children? I don't know of a single kill in Eretz Yisrael today. The Meraglim can stand there and cite chapter and verse and pull out the Ornet and say, Rabbeinu Shel, what do you want from us? Why is destruction brought down upon an entire generation because they didn't want to go? It's no mitzvah. I think that we're going to get to the answer to that question by the end of this year. And if I've done that, then I've done well for tonight. Let's go back to the halachic aspects. By the way, there still is a paragraph that I didn't understand. The paragraph that said, furthermore, most of the commandments only apply when the majority of Jews are in Israel. Nowadays, when most Jews live outside Israel, only 270 of the 613 mitzvahs can be fulfilled. It seems as though what they say is, well, let's just keep things that way. Why shouldn't we say that more Jews should come so there will be a majority of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael and we will be able to fulfill all 613 commandments? And anybody who remembers an article that appeared about 5-6 years ago, written by Rabbi Sholem Gold in the Jerusalem Post, where he predicted that by the end of this century, give or take a few days, the majority of Jews are going to be living in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe what the response should have been, you come, bring your friends, anybody you can get your hands on, and we're going to turn this country into the largest single Jewish community in the whole world. Then he goes on to say, is there a specific mitzvah to live in Israel? Many authorities say it is a mitzvah to live in Israel. Many authorities? Most authorities. The overwhelming number of authorities who've dealt with the question of is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, the overwhelming number of poskim hold that it is a mitzvah. The one who enunciates it most clearly is the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Everybody deals with the Ramban. The Rambam's introduction to his magnum opus, the Yad HaChazakeh, is the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Book of Mitzvahs, where he lists the 613 mitzvahs. And after he lists the 248 positive commandments, the Ramban lists certain mitzvahs that he feels the Rambam should have mentioned but didn't mention. And the famous one is Mitzvah Dalet, where the Ramban says, "Shenitztavenu, we have been commanded, Lord Reshet Haaretz, to inherit the land, Asher Natan Hakel Yidbarach Lavoteinu, that God blessed He gave to our fathers Abram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. V'lo na'azveho biyad zulateinu min ha'umot, and we should not leave it in the hands of any other nations, O lishmama, or permit the land to be desolate, v'hu omro, and where do we learn it? Because it says, and that's the pasuk that's quoted here, v'horashtem es ha'aretz, v'yashavtem ba, you should inherit the land and live in it. And the Ramban makes it very clear that it is a mitzvah at all times to live in Eretz Yisrael. There's been a tremendous amount of literature that's written about why doesn't the Rambam in fact enunciate clearly, why doesn't he say that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? The Rambam does not say that. The Rambam, Maimonides, does not say that. But there is a great deal of literature that deals with it. And overwhelmingly, I believe we can say that most the Shenim and Akrenim hold that the Rambam does hold that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But one of the rules that the Rambam promulgates in order to decide should a mitzvah appear amongst the 613 is, he says, if there is an all-embracing and all-inclusive mitzvah, then the all-embracing mitzvah doesn't have to be mentioned, but all of the mitzvahs that flow from it are to be mentioned. And therefore, since the Rambam lists so many halachas that flow directly and only from the fact that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. For example, the classic place where it is discussed is a Mishnah at the end of Masechet Ksubos, where the Mishnah says, Hakol Malin Eretz Yisrael, everybody can bring people up to Eretz Yisrael, meaning the following: husband or wife can coerce one another to go on Aliyah. And there, if husband wants to go on Aliyah and wife doesn't, then he can give her a get without paying her ksuba. If she wants to go and he refuses to go, he has to give her a get and pay her ksuba in full. Not only husband or wife, a slave who flees from his master and goes to Eretz Yisrael, you can't send him back. For that matter, the master can come to the slave can come to the master and say, I want to go on Aliyah. So you know what Bezdin is going to tell him? Either you take your whole family on Aliyah so that your servant can live in Eretz Yisrael, or you're going to have to free him or sell him to somebody who's going to take him to Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam paskens that halacha. From what does that halacha flow? Directly from the idea that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. A famous Gemara in Gittin. On Shabbos, I'm not permitted to tell a non-Jew to do that which I'm not permitted to do. I can't tell a non-Jew to write on Shabbos. I can't tell a non-Jew to cook on Shabbos. However, what happens in the event that I have reached an agreement with a non-Jew to buy a piece of land or a house in Eretz Yisrael? Kotvin olav ono afilu b'Shabbos. You give instructions to write the deed, the title, even on Shabbos. We don't want him to change his mind. We want to make sure that that piece of land is going to belong to a Jew. And Rashi says, because of mitzvahs yishuv, Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And this is... This is Paskin by the Rambam. There are many other halachas that flow directly from the general principle, the idea that it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. I only recalled it this week. I don't know, it's 40 years. More than 40 years. I learned here in Yeshiva in 55 and 56. And by the end of 56, when time was coming, sort of, I felt my time was up and I have to go back. I was torn. I didn't know what to do. So a friend of mine told me, listen, you should go discuss this with a good Jew. Now you have to go talk to a good Yid. You know, ask your rabbi. He suggested, there's a fellow Rabbi Tzvi Yehuda Cook, who is Rosh Shiva of, there's a yeshiva on Rav Cook Street, Merkaz Rav. I knew where it was because I had had, part of the year I had had a seder with somebody there. So, you know, I put on my jacket, I think I was probably put on my hat, and I came knocking on his door, and I told him what my problem was. I'm telling you, like a father, he sat me down at the dining room table, and he took out the Ramban with his arm around me. He learned through the Ramban with me. I don't know why that scene didn't come back to me until this week. To have learned or been taught this Ramban by Reb Tzvi Yehuda Cook was, I think that was a great schos. So that's the Ramban. And the Ramban. So there are many who hold that the Ramban does hold that it is a mitzvah, but he had his reasons why he didn't enunciate it clearly. What I want to deal with is Rav Meisha. Because first of all, it's a bit strange that of all the Achronim, the only one that they quote is Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. I mean, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was the Gadol B'Yisrael, the Posek of America, but listen now, over the centuries there are many Poskim. Meisha. And that's what the rest of this year, because I'm going to have, I want to explain Rav Meisha from within Rav Moshe. I want to tell you what two Gedolei HaPoskim of our generation have to say about Rav Moshe, and I'm going to be very even-handed. Surprisingly enough, I'm going to quote what Rav Ovadia Yosef has to say about Rav Moshe's tshuva, and what Rav Avraham Shapira has to say about Rav Moshe's tshuva. So, I mean, Sephardi, Ashkenazi, all the same to me. I'm colorblind. No racism at all. Rav Meisha's tshuva is the following. It's one paragraph, and I'm only going to read a few lines from the paragraph, and you'll see right away why. Rav Meisha says, "B'dvar she'latcha, with regard to your question, is there a mitzvah now to live in Eretz Yisrael, as the Ramban says? Or is the halacha like Rab Chaim in Tosis? There is a Rab Chaim in Tosis at the end of Masechet Ketubos that says there is no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael today." And according to it seems one reason is because can't fulfill the Trumas and Mises, the mitzvahs properly. There are others who say it's because of Sakonas Drachim. There is danger to it's dangerous to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, if those are any of the reasons, they obviously no longer apply. Thank God, because of Jews like Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, like the Chazon Ish and others, we know how to deal with the mitzvahs HaKluyos Ba'aretz. There is no Sakonas Drachim. There may be Sakonas Drachim inside Eretz Yisrael, but there's no Sakonas Drachim to come. There is no danger on the roads coming from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, when the idea of dangerous roads was mentioned by the Poskim over a period of hundreds of years, we're talking about an extremely long, arduous, and absolutely dangerous trip. We're talking about real, real danger. One of the Achronim of 100 or 200 years ago says that the test of danger is, would people come for business? If people would come for business, in other words, even in the days when people had to come, I don't know, by sailboat, but if people would come for business, then it's not considered dangerous with regard to the halacha. But anyway, Rav Meisha says, with regard to your question, is the halacha like the Ramban that there's a mitzvah today to live in Eretz Yisrael? Or is the halacha like Rav Chaim that it's not a mitzvah today? He neirov ha-poiskim savri dehu mitzvah. The Rav Meisha says very clearly, most of the poskim hold that it is a mitzvah. But here is his important addition. Avol poshut, that's clear. She'ein ze bizman hazeh mitzvah chiyuvit she'al haguf. It is not an obligatory mitzvah that I must fulfill. He differentiates between two kinds of mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah that's chiyuvit, that's obligatory, I have to do it. And then there is something that if I do it, I fulfill a mitzvah, which is called mitzvah kiyumit, a mitzvah that I fulfill. So he says it's quite obvious that there is no obligatory mitzvah, because if there would be an obligatory mitzvah, then it would be also to live in Chutz Lartz. And nobody ever said that it's also to live in Chutz Lartz. Din Cain, if there would be an obligation, then Mimela, it would be, mean that also Lado b'Chutz Lartz, you're not allowed to live in Chutz Lartz, Mishum Sha'over Alaseh, because you transgress a positive commandment. And you know what it would be? It would be, he uses an example, it would be like somebody who wears a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. Four-cornered garment without tzitzis. You're not allowed to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis, because then you have transgressed. It's usur. V'lo huskar yisa, there's no mention of a prohibition except for a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael to leave Eretz Yisrael. But it doesn't say any place that usur, you're not allowed to live in. You're not allowed to live in Chutz Lartz. So therefore, he says, it is not an obligatory get up and do mitzvah, but if you do it, it's a mitzvah, it's a fulfillment of the mitzvah. I think it may be a little more than it is a good thing to do. Okay. On the one hand, Rabbi Avadya Yosef says he doesn't understand. V'anochi da'iti, I saw ha'ga'on ha'mefursam. Rabbi Moshe finds himself, I don't understand, Rabbi Moshe. Because the Gemara in fact says, and such is the halacha, and we mentioned it before, that husband or wife can coerce one another to go on aliyah. We're talking about coercing to go on aliyah. If there is no mitzvah chiyuvit, if there's no obligatory mitzvah, why can husband or wife coerce one another? If it's only a good thing to do, if you are there, you're fulfilling a mitzvah, but there's no obligation to get up and go, how can husband or wife coerce one another to go? Husband or wife could show Rav Moshe's tshuva to the other and say, listen, I don't have to go. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's a mitzvah kiyumit. A mitzvah that you, if you do it, then it is a mitzvah. On the other hand, Rav Avraham Shapira, and I'm surprised that I'm close to Rav Avraham Shapira, and I never saw this. I only found it in the last few days. He's talking about this sefer Me'ofar Kumi that deals with the mitzvah, the obligatory mitzvah of going on aliyah. So he says, with regard to what is discussed here, is the mitzvah of aliyah chiyuvit obligatory, o kiyumit, or is it one that if you do it, you fulfill it? And I have a certain feeling that there's a degree of sarcasm that is now going to appear in the words of Rabbi Avraham Shapira. He says, "V'hakavana b'musag hachadash hazeh shel kiyumit." The intention of this new concept called kiyumit, a mitzvah, that if you do it, you fulfill a mitzvah. He, what does it mean? She'ein zu mitzvah shechayavim l'kayma. It's not a mitzvah that you have to fulfill. Elo she'im kima. If you fulfilled it, you did a mitzvah. To me, he says, it seems like saying one thing and the exact opposite, like talking out of two sides of your mouth. Mitzvah shel Torah, in other words, you're going to tell me that it's a mitzvah that's listed amongst the 613 mitzvahs. So then, the Pashtus, simply,
The moment that you tell me that it's a mitzvah, then this is no longer dependent on a person's will. If he wants and fulfills it, and if he doesn't want, he doesn't have to fulfill it. Because this contradicts the whole concept of mitzvah. The mitzvah means that it is a command of Hashem Yisbarach. How can you say that God made a mitzvah dependent on man's will? This is a contradiction in terms. You can't even say it out of your mouth. The Kaimelon, we hold that mitzvahs are not given for men to enjoy, and Rashi says in the Sefer Roshana, a mitzvah is a yoke upon a person to fulfill God's will. What kind of a yoke is it, he asks? If I don't want to do it, I don't have to do it. I can decide whether I'm going to do it or not going to do it. So there we have the two, the Svardi and the Ashkenazi Gedolim. I want to make two further comments. One, b'mikre, or maybe not so b'mikre, I opened up, here in Shul, I opened up last week one of the Sifrei HaTshuvos of Rav Meisher, and I opened up to a particular page, and my eyes began to dance across the page. And it's just, it excited me. You know, when I get excited. How would Rav Meisher look at what he said? I'll tell you how he would look at it. Here's a tshuva that he sends to his B'ni Chavivi, my beloved son, Reb David Feinstein Shlita. And he, it seems that his son asked him about wearing a garment that has four corners that should have tzitzis on it, and of course putting on tzitzis, do you have to do that? If you're wearing a garment with four corners, of course you have to have tzitzis on it. What happens if I don't have a garment with four corners? Do I have to go out and buy a garment with four corners and put tzitzis on it and wear it? Vadei tzedakah, you're certainly right. Sha'af shemidina leke chiyuva, even though from the point of view of halacha, there is no obligation to wear a beged that is chayiv in tzitzis and to put tzitzis on it. All that the halacha says is that if you wear such a garment, you must have tzitzis in it. Mikomakom, however, kivin shenahagu kol Yisrael, because all of Israel have a custom, lilbosh beged achayiv, the tzitzis, since there's a custom, the Jews put on arba kanfas. Also, l'shum adam lavral zeh. Nobody dares transgress this, because it's no worse than any other minhag, even a minhag in which a custom where there is no fulfillment of a positive mitzvah. You can't not perform a minhag. Again, even a minhag where there is no fulfillment of a mitzvah saseh. Because it says, Shema b'ni Musa ravicha v'al titosh Torah simecha, the Torah of your mother, the minhagim of Klal Yisrael. The Koshkin, certainly when you're asking me about this minute, the minute to wear arba kanfas, in a moment you're going to realize why I began to get terribly excited. Says the Rav Meisher, Koshkin, certainly minig zeh, this custom, Shiesh bo gam kiyu mitzvah, there's also the fulfillment of a mitzvah. Ube'etzem, and in fact, there are no lack of reasons why you should want to fulfill this mitzvah. Because there are great inyanim in the mitzvah of tzitzis. Listen to what he lists. First of all, because the Gemara says about tzitzis, shkula mitzvah zu keneged kol mitzvahs, this mitzvah is equal to all other mitzvahs. Second of all, because Rav Shimon ben Yochai said that whoever performs the mitzvah of tzitzis is zeichel lekabel pnei ashkinot, to see the divine presence, to be in the divine presence. And furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yankiv says that the mitzvah of tzitzis strengthens a person so that he should not sin. You know what I want to do? I want to substitute the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Number one, first thing that Rav Meisher said, the minhag of wearing tzitzis, this is not stam a minhag. You fulfill a mitzvah when you do it. According to Ramesha, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill a mitzvah. And tzitzis is so important because school on mitzvah tzitzis, the mitzvah of tzitzis is equal to all other mitzvahs. Do you know where else Chazal say about a mitzvah that it is equal to all other mitzvahs? The famous Sifri at the end of Parshas Re'eh, Shkula mitzvahs yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is equal to all other mitzvahs. Let me ask you, could you say that somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael is mekabel pnei hashchina? Isn't this what Ramesha said about tzitzis, that whoever is zog is in the mitzvah of tzitzis is zog lekabel pnei hashchina? What are you talking about? This is the place of the Shekhinah. It says, you know, you're zeichen not to sin if you wear tzitzis. Do you know what the Gemara in Ksuba says about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? Kol hador be'Eretz Yisrael shorui below avon. Whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael lives without sin. I think that Ramesha would have said, living in Eretz Yisrael is no different than wearing a beged at arba kantos. Wearing arba kantos. Do you think any good Jew would walk around in America in any Orthodox community without his arba kantos? Just substitute Eretz Yisrael for tzitzis, and you have what Ramesha would have told you what to do. By the way, I will get in Yetz Hashem described as I said the conversation that I had with Rabbi Yankiv Kamenetsky. I asked him whether I should go on Aliyah. And his position, the one sentence of the position, Ich halt, as is a mitzvah heint, wie es is allemal gewen, zu weinen in Eretz Yisrael, und wollte ich gekannt, wollte ich jetzt gefahren in Airport, a reif auf a Luftzeug, und gefahren in Eretz Yisrael, aber ich kenne es. I will translate. Rabbi Yankiv told me, I hold that it is a mitzvah today like it always was to live in Eretz Yisrael, and if I could, I would go to the airport, I would get onto a plane, and I would go to Eretz Yisrael immediately. But I can't. And he had very justifiable reasons for not going. And none of them had anything to do with Ferrari in the morning, or steak in the afternoon, or a Torah community to live in, or a chavrusa, or money to give charity. But I'm going to take you one giant step further. And here I really believe they never understood Rav Meisher. I hold that this is one of the greatest responsa written by Rav Meisher. How do you like that? Sounds like an about face. I think this is the greatest tshuva that was written by Rav Meisher. And I'll tell you why. It's something that I said a number of years ago, but I found such proof for it this year that I believe that what I'm saying is true. Sridei Eish Rabbi Yechiel Yankov Weinberg has a tshuva. One of the Gedolim before and after the war was lived in Mantra in Switzerland. Big posse, great man. He asks the following question: why don't you make a bracha on the mitzvah of Shalach Manas? On Purim, you know, there's a mitzvah to send gifts to your fellow Jew. Why don't we make a bracha on that mitzvah? All mitzvahs Chazal made brachas for. So he says, making a bracha would defeat the whole purpose of the mitzvah. Because what does a bracha mean? Asher kidishanu v'mitzvesav, God sanctified us with his commandments, v'tzivanu, and he commanded me to give you shalach manas. The purpose of shalach manas is that from my heart I should want to give you shalach manas. To say v'tzivanu would mean, the truth is, I despise you. I hate your guts. But listen, God commanded me to give you shalach manas. Take the orange and the peanut already. The purpose of the mitzvah is that there should be laharbas reyus, that there should be friendship, a feeling. If you're going to say v'tzivanu, you have already negated all of the feeling. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, what was the chet of the Mechaglim? What was the sin? Vayimasu be'eretz chenda. They rejected the desirable land. They rejected the desirable land. You know what the Rebbe Shem wants? He wants the Jews should ask themselves the question, what is God's will? What does the Rebbe Shem want? That's what he wants. I'm going to do it. Not because I'm coerced, but I'm doing it as an act of absolute free will. My whole life I prayed that when I finally make the step of going to Eretz Yisrael, and by the way, I just want to point out biographically, I came back in 1956, toward the end of 56, to go for 2 years to school in order to finish for something so that I should be of some value over here. I had planned in the summer of 59 to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Long time. I detoured. And the detour was because my Hashiva called me in January of 59. He called me into his office. Rav Yankiv Yitzchak Halevi Rudem and Zechet Tzadik Lebrach El Hashiva Yishivas Nei Yisrael. He called me into his office and he asked me, Shalom, you want to go to Toronto to build a yeshiva? Kidding me? I don't think it took me 30 seconds and I said, sure I'll go. My intention, of course, was that I'd go. I'd set up a yeshiva in Toronto. Great challenge. And then I'll go to Eretz Yisrael. Was I to know that by going to Toronto, I was going to meet my wife there? I went as a bacha, 24 years old. Thank God I had mamish siyata d'shmaya that I started the yeshiva. So then started, every time I wanted to leave, about the second, you can't leave. So you know how things go. So then when we finally left Toronto to go to New York, to West Hempstead, we said it clearly in the house, this brings us about 600 miles closer to Eretz Yisrael. And especially, I took a community, there's no more than four. I prayed that I should be able to make an absolutely free, uncoerced decision to go on Aliyah. I didn't want to be in the situation that, well, you know, for example, the rabbi's contract is coming up, we don't know if he's going to get the votes for a renewal for his contract, so what's the nice way to get out of it all? Fellas, noble, I'm going on Aliyah. I wanted to go on Aliyah when there was absolutely nothing forcing me to go, only a pull. And I thanked the Rebbe Shem Ad Hayom Hazeh that I was zeichet precisely to that. I became a Chaim Waxman, and as many of you are, all of you are, Chaim Waxman calls the American Ole a free migrant of the innovative type. I told Chaim he's wrong. A free migrant who's a meshugana would be a better description of all that. But he called us free migrants of the innovative type. Do you know what Rav Meisher accomplished? He gave us the freedom of choice. What would have happened otherwise? I'll tell you what would have happened. If Rav Meisher would have paskined that you have to go out Aliyah, so I'm sure there are those, Ramesha Paskins, so they push it with tears in their eyes, they'd make their lift, and with tears in their eyes they would leave America, and with the tears in their eyes they would never come to Eretz Yisrael. It's like Zeha Min Hashemayim. The Ramesha doesn't want people like that in Eretz Yisrael. That's not what he wants. A generation that didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, stay outside of Eretz Yisrael. What the Rebbe Shem wants is that you should desire the land, because that's where I am. It's my land, the one that I've chosen from all other lands on the face of this earth. If that's not enough for a Jew to want it, so the Rebbe Shem, do me a favor, stay wherever you want. Rebbe Shem gave us choice. More than that, those who are not ready to follow Rebbe Shem would have found themselves another place. Guaranteed. What proof do I have that what I'm saying is right? I found, I don't know how I hadn't seen it all these years, but I found a Chassam Sofer that says the following. A Psukim in Tehillim, you should recognize them. In Tehillim Perek Mem Zayin, it says the following: Yadber Amim Tachtenu Uluumim Tachat Raglenu Yivchalonu Et Nachalatenu Et Gaon Yaakov Sela. I mean, I automatically remember those psukim. You, where do we say it? Rosh Hashanah before Tekiyas Shofar, when I'm standing up here and Moshe Halevi Spiro is standing with the Shofar over here, we say that Mizmor 7 times. Yadber Amim Tachtenu, the nations are under us, Ulu'umim Tachas Aglenu, and people under our feet. Yivchalonu Es Nachloseinu, we choose our Nachla, the greatness of Yaakov. Explains the Chassam Sefer the following, and I'm going to read some of his sentences. Ki yodua, he says it's known that all of Torah is bebechirosh, is by choice, v'lo behechrach. You're not forced to do anything. Even from God there is no kfiyah datit. There is no coercion. V'yodua gam kein ma'ashon u'chazal. It's also known what our rabbi said on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ato tomich gorali, tomich gorali, God, you place my hand on that which you have chosen, Shachodish Baruch Hu, Hineach et Yodeinu al Chelek HaTov. God placed our hands on that which is good, and he told us, Ubacharto Bachayim, choose life. Then the Chassam Sefer brings that the Ramban says in Pashas Masay on the Pasuk, Vahudashtem et Ha'aretz v'yashavtem bo, you shall inherit the land and live in it, the Pasuk that we have heard already a number of times. Says the Ramban that this is a mitzvah saseh mefudashes, this is a clear mitzvah leishev be'eretz hakadosha, to live in the Holy Land. Some Sefer also agrees that this is a mitzvah. Vihine, says the Chassam Sefer, if we find no grace any place in the world, if there's no country in the world that wants to take us, and the only place where we can go is to Eretz Yisrael, we have no opportunity to show that we have chosen Eretz Yisrael. I'll read it to you. V'hinei kishein lanu chanina al pnei kol haaretz. If we find no grace any place, no chen, no favor, any place on the face of this earth, rak haaretz hazos, only this land. Im kein lo nekayein mitzvat aseizu kiyim be'echa. Then we're only going to fulfill this positive commandment because we're coerced to. V'lo yukar b'chirateinu ota. What will not be recognized is that we have chosen her beratzon, out of our free will, l'shem Hashem, for God's sake. Ach, kishyesh lanu tuv haratzos, when we have the best of all the nations of the world, be'artzos hagoyim. And then, when we have everything the best, v'lo nivchal l'sheves, and we don't choose to live ki imba, only in that land, oz nekayim, mitzvata sehanal, then we fulfill that positive commandment. Beratzon, beratzon nafshenu, because we want to. Ukvar kosavnu, we already wrote, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu tomich gorolenu, the Rebbein Shem is the one who places his hand, our hand, on al achelek hatov, on the good portion, telling us, this I want you to choose. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. When Yadber Amim Tachtenu Umim Tachas Raglenu, when all of the nations of the world are beneath us, we can live wherever we want. Nobody is lording it over us. Both, and in such a way, we have freedom throughout the world. We can live in their lands as we choose, in America, in Canada, in Australia, in England, even in Eastern Europe today. And then we choose this land. Now it's recognizable. Now you know that you chose Eretz Yisrael, and you're not in Eretz Yisrael because you have to be. Do you understand what the Chassam Sefer is saying? To be able to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael as a matter of choice, not to be coerced. So he talks, of course, about the fact that when we have the freedom to live any place in the world and we choose Eretz Yisrael, then you can see that it's a matter of choice. I'm going one step further. When there isn't even a mitzvah chiyuvit, an obligatory mitzvah to coerce me, and I do it. Do you understand what kind of a fulfillment that is?
I don't even have a chamisha to coerce me to do it.
And so I'm left with the ability and the opportunity, the great opportunity of all, to choose.
What the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wanted of the Dor HaMidbar is that they should choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't choose. Eretz Yisrael doesn't necessarily have to be the mitzvah chiyuvit, though of course according to most of the Rishayim and Achrayim, it is the mitzvah chiyuvit.
But I'm saying, Chav Meshe gave this generation, the American generation, an opportunity unmatched and unparalleled. And do you know what they did to Rav Meshe? They're using him as an excuse not to go to Eretz Yisrael, when I believe what he really did gave Klal Yisrael the opportunity to perform the mitzvah in a way that they couldn't have performed it at any other time. That's the greatness of the Meshe. And on this sheet of paper, Rav Meshe just becomes, well, why aren't you going to Eretz Yisrael? Well, listen, it's not a mitzvah chiyuvit. I mean, you don't know Rabbi Feinstein's response on this. That's what Rav Meshe meant. The same thing was expressed by Rav Kook. The famous, famous words of Rav Avon Yitzchak HaKohen Kook on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that with that we're going to close for tonight. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Navi says, "Mi ele ka'ov tu'ufena." Who are these who fly like the cloud? V'chayonim el arubotayim, and like doves, pigeons going back to their nests. And the Navi is talking about Jews coming to Eretz Yisrael. Said Rav Kook, a cloud moves. What moves it? What makes it fly? The wind. Whichever way the wind blows, that's the way in which the cloud will move. What about the pigeon? The pigeon is not moved by anything except its own homing device. The pigeon can be any place on the face of this earth and knows precisely what home is and where it wants to go. It says there will be two kinds of olim. There are those who are going to come to Eretz Yisrael because the winds of change, the tides of history, blow them in that direction. All other countries of the world are closed to them. And never, Jews, make every effort to get to these shores.
I know 6 million Jews that would have come bechefetz leiv, beratzon, to Eretz Israel without asking the question, will I have a Torah neighborhood?
Will I have enough money to support my family? How will it be being far away from 6 million Jews that would have gladly chosen Eretz Yisrael?
Mi'ele ka'av tu'ufena, there are those who come like the cloud.
The cloud is moved by something outside of it. The wind, as the wind blows, there are those who will come. But then there are others who are come to Eretz Yisrael because there's that homing device inside of them. Like the pigeon going home. Knows exactly where it wants to go. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants. That's what the Rebbeinu Shem wants.
Ritzon Hashem is that you should want to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem doesn't want that anybody should be coerced and forced. You have no choice. You have to come. You don't want to come, don't go. Don't go.
So I say, we've had a number of approaches to Rav Meshe. The approach that I take to Rav Meshe is that he gave this generation a tremendous opportunity. And Rav Meshe's tshuva, therefore, should not be used as an excuse not to come to Eretz Yisrael, rather as a tremendous opportunity and a challenge to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael because it's Ritzon Hashem. In Yitz Hashem, next week we will continue, and I think we'll just have to complete our responses here.